Good morning, brother. The scripture reading this morning is taken from Colossians, the third chapter. I'll be reading verses 11 through 13. Colossians 3, 11 through 13. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you.
Well, I bet you thanks for that reading. Get your Bibles out, please. It's time to begin in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to begin this morning. Matthew chapter 6. Been thinking a lot about forgiveness. You know, I don't know of anyone that probably would not like to go back a few years, whatever year that might be for you, maybe change a few things. Maybe change a few things and do a few things in your life a little different. And there's two facts about going back that I think we need to recognize. Number one, you can't go back. It is impossible to go back. You're not able to go back and change the things that you've done. But also I want you to notice, fact number two, that God has made it possible not to go back, but to travel forward and to make really this moment or what you're dealing with a whole lot lighter. And not to confuse you, or maybe to unconfuse you now, all of that entails a conscious decision that you all need to make, that all of us are willing to make in order to do that. And that is, I choose to forgive. It is a conscious choice. I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive those that have sinned against me. Now, I think about a lot of stuff. I think that might be one of the most difficult things to actually do in our life. I choose to forgive the one that has sinned against me. You know, when the Lord was preaching and teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, it's almost like He knew that we would stumble over this part. So He speaks very clearly. Look what He says in verse 14. He says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your Father, your heavenly Father, will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions." Now, folks, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of passages in the Bible that might be hard to understand, but I want you to recognize this isn't one of them. You forgive, God forgives. You refuse to forgive, God refuses to forgive you. Now, there's no doubt when you look at Scripture that God has made a definite big deal out of forgiveness. And when you look at it, I think we need to treat it as the big deal that it is. In the New Testament, the word forgiveness itself appears 143 times. That's a lot in the 27 little books of the New Testament. The word forgiveness is actually a legal term, and actually what it means is to release someone from their obligation. To forgive means that you release someone from their obligation, and that's generally to you. And really it has the idea of a debt, and it has the idea that you have a debt that occurred to you, and that you just can't cancel right on. And so much of that's competitive. Again, look back up to verse 12. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debts. And so Jesus says that you need to cancel the debts that are owed you, and then God will cancel the debt that you owe Him. That's pretty basic. And again, I look at that, I think about that. Very plain, very pointed, but again, And looking at people, looking at myself, that's tough. That's a hard thing to do. And you know, I look at it and I'm thinking, I'm going to release this person. I'm going to forgive this person. He owes me. But yet, I'm going to release that person of the debt that's owed. When you lied about me, when you stole from me, when you hurt my feelings so bad, you know, I'm just going to forget that. I'm going to forget all about that. Now, when somebody is owed, you know what, you've got them in a cage. You ever think about that? You've got them in a cage. And when you release that, you know what to do with that person? You open that cage and you set them free. But you know something more important is that when you do that, when you release that debt, you set yourself free. You become free. Now then, I know that there are some debts that's easier to cancel than others. And I think about that. And really, I thought about the tangible debts are probably the easiest to forgive. You took my parking space. I've been sitting here for 5 minutes waiting on this guy to pull out. As soon as he did, you got it. So, hey, you took one of my books, and you never brought it back. I loaned you $100. You never paid me back $100. Maybe you don't know what the word loan means. All of those things are tangible. All of those things you can understand. I'm saying those things are easy to forgive. You can forgive those, but it's an intangible debt that I think are the most difficult to forgive. You took my integrity. You took my honor. You took my reputation by what you said and did. Or you ruined my dream for a happy marriage or a happy life. You lied to me. Now, those things are intangible, and a lot of times, you can't get those back. What's been taken from you a lot of times in those debts, you can't get a return on that. But I want you to understand, forgiveness doesn't minimize the pain that you suffer. Forgiveness doesn't minimize the pain that you might have suffered, but instead of forgiveness, what happens is you maximize your confidence in God when you forgive somebody. It enables you to move forward to a place that you've not been before, because what are you doing? You're giving that to God. I like what Joseph said in Genesis chapter 41. He says to his brothers, verse 51, God has made me forget all my troubles. Folks, it's God that enables you to forgive. It's God that enables you to forget all of your troubles. Now, if you think about it, when you're talking about forgiveness, isn't that a choice? Forgiveness is a choice. Somebody owes you a debt, forgiveness is a choice. Now, yeah, hard choice, but really, when you think about it from a Christian perspective, what other choice do you have but to forgive when you think about it? And when I say, you know, you can't go back and change it, but I'll tell you what, a lot of people hold on to that. A lot of people hold on to that hurt. They're going to hold on to that debt. They're going to keep that hurt. They're not going to let it go. They're not going to forgive. Alright? And what happens with any debt? What happens? Well, with any debt, interest occurs. And so what happens when somebody does maintain, hold on, control that hurt, control that pain? You know what happens to it? It gets heavier. It gets to be a bigger load to carry. And then eventually, the weight of that unforgiveness, I'll tell you what happens to you, does a number on you. It'll do a number on you. Someone has said that unforgiveness is a cancer to the soul. Unforgiveness is a cancer to the soul. I believe that. Because it eats away internally on your inside, little bit by little bit. And I have met some Christians. I know some Christians who believe that they can experience God's forgiveness on them and at the same time hold bitterness or have a bitterness in their heart to someone else. Jesus gives you a quick reality check just right here. He said, that's not going to happen. That will not happen. If you have bitterness in your heart towards somebody, he says, hey, I don't care what you say about knowing me. I don't know you. And I'm not going to forgive you. And I think when you talk about forgiveness, when you look at forgiveness, I think it's important to realize a couple of things that forgiveness isn't. And I think number one, when you think about it, it does not mean when you forgive that you totally forget. You know? You totally forget the fact that somebody sinned against you. I'm going to tell you what. As humans, you know what we do? We retain knowledge. That's humanly impossible to forget in a lot of instances. We just don't. We can't. We're unable to do that. The mind retains that. But when you deal with it the way I believe the New Testament wants you to deal with it, the mind won't necessarily hold on to it. We won't keep thinking it over and over. We won't keep rehearsing over and over what the person did to us. We won't keep bringing that up. And so forgiveness, it doesn't mean that you totally forget about it, does it?
No.
Forgiveness also doesn't mean, secondly, that you put yourself in a position to be injured again. God doesn't expect you to live with a drunk and beat you up every weekend. Or I forgive you. Well, you have to. Well, no. We're not being naive here. That's not what we're talking about. And neither is forgiveness an excuse to justify sinful behavior. Paul talked about that in Romans. There's always somebody looking for a loophole. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, "Shall we continue in sin?" They argued, or he argued, that if we continue in sin, Romans chapter 6, verse 1, so that grace may abound. There were some in Rome that they argued that since there is no sin that God's grace cannot encompass, cannot take care of, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just sin real big, and we'll just keep sinning real big. That way, that'll just make the grace of God even bigger. And so there were folks looking for loopholes to sin. God, Paul says, God forbid. God forbid. The thought that they found a loophole, listen, there's no loophole in the grace of God. And they thought that they could make a mockery out of grace. You can't make a mockery out of grace. But they thought they did. Sometimes people will make a mockery out of forgiveness. You know that? Hey! 70 times 7. That's right. You've got to keep forgiving me. You know, your forgiveness almost, if you're like that, and you buy that, it's almost you're accommodating to sinful behavior. Oh, we just got to keep forgiving, don't we? Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? You have every right to ask that individual, to tell that individual, listen, this kind of forgiveness doesn't mean that there's not accountability. There is still responsibility. My forgiveness is not accommodating your behavior and not allowing you to continue in that behavior. Alright? Sometimes it's almost like an excuse for that behavior that discharges or is a behavior that refuses to change. You supporting that in your forgiveness? A continual 70 times 7? That's why, and I think about it, sometimes God works through men to see that His will is done. That's why lawbreakers are held accountable to what? The law. That's right. That's why brethren, sinners in a congregation that calls themselves a son, are accountable to sin. That's why elders are charged. Listen, you need to watch this flock. If you've got a sinner there, if you don't take care of it, I'm going to hold you accountable. So that's a big deal. Now, in the case of that, lawbreakers, what do we want? Justice. In the case of sin with the church, what do we want? Well, justice. But we want to maintain purity. We want to maintain holiness. That's the motivation. Now, behind both of those things, it's not bitterness. There's no bitterness there. We're not harboring bitterness in our hearts. That's a whole different story on both of those ideas. That somebody harboring that kind of bitterness and they're thinking about it over and over. They're not letting it go. That all the pain that they've caused me, I'm going to rehearse that. And when I say let it go, for whatever reason, if you're not letting go, again, it doesn't totally disappear. But I tell you what, when you let it go, what I'm talking about is putting it in God's hands where you are more capable of handling the pain and the hurt that you have, that you're holding on to. You're giving what? You're giving the grief to God if you're not forgiving somebody. You might do something with it. Why don't people let it go? Why don't people let things go? You ever think about it? I've heard all kinds of excuses and reasons why people struggle so much. I've heard people say, well, I'll tell you what, you just don't know how much there is for me to forgive to that guy. You just don't know what was done. If you only knew how much that person hurt me, and that's why I can't forgive him. First of all, there's no minimizing the pain when someone sins against you. It's hurtful. There's no doubt it's painful. But when you think about it, you know, the size of the offense, that's not a reason to hold on to it. No. And really, when you think about it, the bigger the offense, that's more reason to get rid of it. That's more reason to let that go. I've heard people say, well, I'll tell you what, I guess time will take care of it. You know what, I've been hurt so bad, I guess time will heal all wounds. No, it won't. No, it won't. Because the next time you see that person that sinned against you, I don't care if it's tomorrow or 10 years from now, you know what you're going to do? It's going to come up again. You're going to think about what was done to you. Over and over and over again we go with it. And you think about it on those terms. Every time you see that, time doesn't heal things. You ever have a flat tire? You have a flat tire. You hear it? You feel it? You pull over? You see it? There it is. There's the flat. Last time I had a flat tire, it was probably a pancake. Got in the car, and he said, what are we going to do? I think I'll give a little time and see what happens. Huh? Why not? Got a dirty diaper running around there, and Sarah said, boy, the baby needs change, and child's laying on the couch, watching TV, doing YouTube or something. Hey, let's give it some time and see if that works out. Huh? There are times when time won't heal. We need to recognize that. Don't doubt for this. Okay, I forgive when she says sorry. I'm going to forgive that guy when he says I'm sorry. Now here's the question. What if he doesn't say I'm sorry? Well, he doesn't say I'm sorry. Now that puts you in a bad place on the judgment day. Because I don't want to be in that place. Hey, listen, I need to talk to you about your attitude that you have. About Mary there. Well, I'll tell you what, Lord. You didn't say she was sorry, so I'll tell you what I did. I gave her the attitude that she deserved. We do that, don't we? I don't want to be in that position. I want to have a spirit about me that is approachable. That somebody can come to me and we think need to be talking about. Hebrew writer says that, Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 9, he says, Hebrews 6, verse 9, beloved, we are convinced, he says, of better things concerning you. You know what the point is there? God challenges us as Christians in all situations. You know what? I'm going to take the high road. God expects better things of me because of what I know, because of how I'm supposed to act. God challenges us in ways that sets us apart from the world. You ever have somebody in the world that's mad at you for something that you did? You ever notice how they make it really, really hard to approach them? To come up to them, to make things right? World doesn't understand this kind of reason. They have no idea what we're talking about. God does. You do. We need to have the right attitude through all of this, both times. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you what, if she sees how bitter I am, well, that's going to make her feel bad, and then that's going to make her say she's sorry. To dream the impossible dream. That's not going to work. That's not how that works. Bitterness is like you're holding this coal, a lump of burning coal in your hand. I tell you, you're the guy that's going to get burned. If you can't let that go, you're going to get burned. I'll tell you what, I'll forgive it. But I'm not going to forget about it. You know that's backwards. That's backwards. I'll forgive, but I won't forget. The truth is, if you won't, you'll never forget about it if you don't forgive. It'll always be there. If you don't forgive, you're not going to forgive. Because forgiveness means what? You let it go to God. You let it all go to God. And only when you let it go to God can it begin to heal in your heart. Somebody says, I'll forgive, but I'll tell you what, somebody better make him pay, and that's right. He's going to pay. Come with me. 2 Thessalonians. Paul has something to say about that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. What is that? God's job? That's God's job. Now look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Paul again. Verse 19. Never. Romans 12 and 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved. Not you. You leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You know, never is a big word, but God uses it. It's God's job. We need to have a better understanding in a lot of things and areas of our lives. What is our job? And what God's job is? This is God's job. Our job is to focus on giving everybody that we know, brethren and the world alike, to give everybody that we know evidence that Jesus Christ lives in us and lives in our hearts. And we want people to know that. And that there are better ways to live. There are ways to forgive, and this is one of those ways. And woe to the person that says he does not deserve forgiveness. Because I'm going to tell you, not one of us in here deserves forgiveness. We got it. So what does that say? You know, when you talk about forgiveness, invariably it takes you to Luke 17. Luke 17:3. If your brother sins against you, go through and talk to him about it. Rebuke him. Luke 17:3 says. And if he repents, you forgive him. And that's it. Certainly. Absolutely. If your brother repents, it says forgive him. But I want to ask you something. When you look at that, do you think Jesus is saying if your brother doesn't repent, that you can hold a grudge? You think that's what Jesus said? That if your brother doesn't repent, that you can hold on to what was done, and that you nurse that, and you favor that, you harbor that, and you become bitter against him. You think that's what the Lord meant if the brother doesn't repent after you talk to him about it? You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and before he drew his last breath, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What do you think about that? Now, a few days later, there were those there that nailed Jesus to the cross that were in earshot of Peter's voice. And in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, pierced their heart. They realized they killed Jesus Christ, crucified the Son of Man. Looked up in verse 37, what shall we do to be saved? And those in earshot of Peter's voice heard, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Now, upon hearing that and knowing that, they had their sins forgiven. Many that nailed Jesus to the cross, 3,000 had their sins forgiven. Some did not. Some refused to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. But I want to tell you about Jesus when he died. You know what? When he died without one ounce of bitterness in him. Not one. You think a man could be bitter, be the Lord, with what was done to him, why it was done to him, how it was done to him. Not one ounce of bitterness. You know why? He gave all of that to God. It had to go somewhere. He gave it all to God. And I think about the Lord's death, and I think about my human reaction. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 30 or 60, he says that he was getting stoned before he threw his last breath. Lay not this. Lay not this sin to their cause. Be like Stephen. to be like my Lord. No bitterness there. It's important for us to understand that. It is. It's important for us to understand that, to release that to the Father. Now, because I release something, because I want God to take care of it, because of the situation, when we talk about forgiveness, that doesn't mean that God releases that person. Because again, that's God's job. That doesn't mean that person is fine. It means that you're fine, and you're working on that. But simply because you release something and give that to God and give it over to God, all your bitterness, all of the things that go with forgiveness or unforgiveness, hey, wait a minute, this fellow still got some stuff to do. That's God's job. That's not your job. And also means that you don't go running to the person and say, I've released it all to God, forgiveness this, unforgiveness that. You know why? That person might not want it. He might not ask for it. He can care less what you've done. Okay. I'll tell you what, it doesn't mean you can't pray to release what you're harboring in your heart to God and give it to God. And that's the key. You have to release it. You can't keep holding it. And to try to release it to somebody that doesn't want it, you want me? Just go ahead and give it to God. That's what Joseph did. I've said before, I want to meet Joseph in heaven, and from the study in Genesis, as you look at that, you know, there's some people, I talked to a guy one time about, you know, when his brothers came back, when they came down to Egypt, he made a little tough on them, didn't he? About, you know, before it all came out, he made a little tough, and one fellow said, I think he was bitter for what they did. I don't think Joseph had a bitter bone in his body. I think he had forgiven his brothers before he even seen them. But I think he looked and seen the things that he did and required of his family. I wondered if it wasn't for they didn't find out they changed a little bit. I think that's what that was for. To see if they were different than they were when they did to him what they did to him. And you know, in other words, would they betray Brother Benjamin like they betrayed Joseph? Had they really changed? And you know what? Joseph seemed that they had. Matthew 18. Let's turn over there. Matthew 18, Peter talks to the Lord about the subject of forgiveness. And forgiving someone that sins against you. I want you to notice what Peter said. Peter come up to the Lord. He come up to him and to the Lord and said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now, Peter, right now, you have to understand when you quote Peter is him, you know, and now, and when you think about what Peter asked, Peter didn't even give him a chance to answer. And you have to understand that during that time, that three strikes and you were out. The Jews decided, as they always did, the Pharisees of the day, they made a law for every single thing, so you know how exactly what to do and all of that. They decided that three was it. Three strikes and you're out. All right? Well, Peter, how many times do we need to forgive somebody? And he's going to say, seven. Up to seven times, he says, wow. Lord, I'm telling you, if Andrew over there comes over and he sins against me, not once, not twice, not three times, not even two times three, I'm going to forgive him seven times, Lord. And I look at this and read this account, I look at Peter's face up here, I think he's wanting one of those Simon Bar-Jonah moments again. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Why, not only three times, not two times three, you're going to forgive Andrew seven times. And Peter, he's waiting for the confession to roll. Lord, I'm going to forgive him seven times. Disciple of the year. Jesus said to him, verse 22, I do not say to you up to seven times, but seven times seven. And I'd like to have been there and seen the look on Peter's face. I'd like to have been there and seen the look on the disciple's face when that happened. Now, if you notice what has been said, Peter's the one who brings up numbers. Jesus, he's not addressing numbers. He throws those numbers out. But Peter's the one that introduced the numbers. Jesus is saying, listen, forgiveness doesn't do what? Forgiveness doesn't keep count. It doesn't keep forgiveness, doesn't keep score. And he proves that, verse 23. Notice what he says. He's going to tell a story now to illustrate that, as he usually does. He says, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one owed him 10,000 talents, was brought to him. This one owed him 10,000 talents. You know what a talent is in the size of it? 15 years of work. One talent, 15 years of labor. 10,000 talents. You can't even be multiplied. You can't even be comfortable. You can't even calculate that. Verse 25, but since he did not have any means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children, all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell down on the ground, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me. I'll repay you everything, he said. He can't repay this. There's no way he can pay this. We can't even add it up. And the Lord said to the slave, and the Lord of that slave felt compassion, released him, and forgive him the debt. Can you believe that? What a debt was owed, and what a debt was released off that man. But the slave, that same slave, went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him, began to choke him, and saying, pay back what you owe. The same slave was forgiven the unpayable debt. Now 100 denarii, that's a lot of money. That's a day's wage. 100 times. Well, that's your 100 days work there. Now, that's not unpayable. You can probably pay that. All right? You can understand that. So, now, still a lot of money, but it can be paid. All right? It's doable. Now, notice verse 29. So, his fellow slave fell to the ground, began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me. I'll pay what I owe you. But he was unwilling. He went back to him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. So, when his fellow slave saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to the Lord or the king all that happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Did you not have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord was moved with anger and handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Now, when you look at that, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. The king is who? The king is God. And the person that owes the unpayable debt, you know who that is? That's you. That's me and you. And the person that owes the payable debt is the person that has sinned against you. That's the picture here. But the bigger story is, not what somebody owes you 100 denarii. No, it's what you owe the king. It's what you and I owe the king that has forgiven us, that has wiped clean, that has canceled the unpayable debt that we all have. Holiness is demanded to the king. Sin was there. And you know what conquered that? Thank God for that. What conquered that? Love conquered that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Love conquered the unpayable debt that we all owe the King. What forgiveness? What love that is? 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. Notice what the Apostle John says. He says this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He says, beloved, that's us. Let us, that's us, love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Let that go in. If God has forgiven us an unpayable debt, certainly we can forgive one another. Certainly we can do that. We must let the cross of Christ change our lives and be in our hearts and change us from the inside out. And we need to recognize and know that that's one of the blessings that we have. The blessing of forgiveness to those that have sinned against us. You know what? If you're not giving that away, forgiveness, maybe you don't have any forgiveness to give away. Just think about that. If you're still holding on to what someone has done to you, maybe you haven't come to terms with what he's done for you. If you're still holding on, that grudge, that hurt, that pain, maybe you don't realize just how much has been done for you. The fact is, we're concentrating on everybody else's sin and everything that's been done to us and focus on others. I'll never see the tragedy of my own sin. I'll never see the tragedy of where I'm at. Bitterness is terrible. And when it's in your heart, I'm going to tell you, folks, it will destroy you. See those pictures of the tornado, the hurricane? It's just a big path. It just rips through your heart. It rips through your soul and mind. You know, God that made us, He made us in a physical way. You know what? We're not made to handle that kind of grudge. We're not made to handle that stress. Your cardiovascular system, your immune system breaks down. Your blood pressure goes up. Our body responds to the choices that we made about forgiveness. Tell us to forgive others that sin against us. Like scattering garbage in a house. Have you ever been in a house that's full of garbage? If you haven't talked to Terry, he's been to quite a few of them. They're toxic. They're terrible. They're repulsive. And it stinks. And hey, I want something. What does God think about my house? What's inside me? What do you see? We need to turn. We need to turn. Listen to what God, I love what Joseph says. God has made me forget all my troubles. I want to tell you something, brethren. God is the only one that will make you do that. That will allow you to do that. I was at a funeral one time for a child. And after the service was over, the funeral director gave the young parents each a pink balloon. And he told them to hold on to that as long as they wanted to. And for a good long time, they stood there with those two balloons like that. And they held on to them as tight as they could hold on to them. And after a while, it was a long while, it was a beautiful day, the sky was blue, two pink balloons. You could see their grip letting go. Slowly, slowly. And they let those go. We all stood there and watched those balloons disappear into the sky. It's terrible. I thought about that for a long time. And I thought about that when I spoke to someone. And I thought about this and talking about forgiveness and us as brethren. Let it go. If it's in there, you need to let it go. Stop holding on to the bitterness to somebody else. Let it go. Please get your phone book back. Someone sins against us, don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to it. At some point, we're going to have to let it go. Don't lose your soul over something that somebody else has done and you cannot and will not forgive. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." The blessed gospel of Christ is the blessed gospel that we stand on, is the blessed gospel that is true. It is the blessed gospel that is able to save your soul, that will turn your darkness into light. This day, you can be saved from your sins. You can be a Christian. And each and everything that you've ever done will be forgiven. Please stand. As together we stand and sing the invitation song.